Well, I hesitate to go into this, but I just can't help myself because I'm not going to preach the gospel today. A lot of people refer to it as the cannibal gospel, and it's I'm not sure what the whole intent of Jesus is in his words, especially since he's just spoke them in a really different, kinder way. But it's a passage that I'm troubled by and spend a lot of time trying to discern exactly what it is that John's trying to say. I mean, it's obvious what he's trying to say, but why he chose anyway. So anyway, on that note, I thought I'd do just a little bit of Bible study before I talk about Ephesians. And because when you read something about Ephesians, and when I read what I'm going to say, sometimes I'll say that Paul says, and sometimes I'll say the writer says, because there are a lot of disagreement about what Paul actually wrote and what someone else wrote, either his secretary or one of his leaders. Clearly, they were all inspired by Paul's ministry, and they are all passages of truth for us. So, depending on if you're in the East or the West, 13 or 14 of the books of the New Testament, of the 27 books are attributed to Paul. Only 7 of these are accepted as being entirely authentic: the Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, first letter to the Thessalonians, and Philemon. The others have debated authorships because of the style of the writing or other indications that maybe Paul wasn't actually the author. Like I said, though, that does not mean that Paul was not involved in the community from which or to which these letters came and went. But it's just a little bit interesting to me when I think about, when I read the letters, to kind of say, well, wait a minute, this says this a little bit differently, and it gives me something to think about as I read the letters as to what was going on in the minds and hearts of these people in the early church. If you look it up online, I used Wikipedia and Britannica because I didn't have time to go to my seminary books. They will tell you there will be different things that it will tell you about what Paul actually wrote. And again, I think it's fascinating because it invites me to study more deeply. So that's just a little fun FYI. I always like a little fun FYI. But good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. In today's Ephesian readings, Christians then and now are called to make the most of the time because the days that surround us are evil. At the time of this writing, as well as in our time, there's always the question of when the end time will come. People have stood on street corners. They've gone to high mountaintops and drank some sort of juice. They've gotten into a spaceship. All different ways that people have declared that the end is near. But deciding or knowing or thinking we know when the end is near is not the point. It's not what we need to be focused on. What we need to be focused on is what we do between now and when we leave this earth, whether it's at the end time or just our end time on this planet. It's important for the church to keep time, so to speak, Paul says, to make sure that we as Christians continue to participate in what it is that we are called to do as Jesus' disciples. We have to be careful. We have to keep good time in the midst of all the bad time that's happening around us. Ways that people waste their time, ways that people disrespect our creation, the creation of God. I could go on and on about the ways that people keep bad time. Just a little insert here. The focus in the reading is on drinking wine and getting drunk as a way to illustrate bad time. And that's because of the geographic location of where Ephesus was. And it was at the center of a huge wine community. So the wine was right there and very available. And so that's the metaphor that Paul used to make an example of what he was talking about. In our confession of belief in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's important that we turn away from the old parts of ourselves and that interfere with the relationship with God and turn to ways to work for the good of God, for the good of the community, the church, our own selves, and our family. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we make a commitment to be a new person in Christ, to keep good time. It's important that we engage in behavior that strengthens the body and strengthens the soul, because any time we engage in activities that distract us from a strong and healthy body and soul, we are wasting the time that we have, the time that we are given before Christ returns. There's so many ways that the world disrespects and wastes time, wastes resources. I cringe every time I see a garbage bag, a clear garbage bag full of garbage, but also a lot of aluminum cans, a lot of glass. We say in our in one of the Eucharistic prayers that, and this is implied in all of them, that you gave us Jesus and we believed in him, but you gave us the creation, but we turned against you. There's so many little ways that we can turn against God. When I came here the other day, I was distraught to see that at the foot of our driveway was this pile of garbage. It was a fast food bag and some plastic bottles and some cans. Obviously, it had fallen off somebody's truck, I think. And as I was picking it up and putting it in a bag, I thought, what is it about us, me, that thinks so little about the little things that we do? Just a little thing like throwing some paper out the window of the car. One of my favorites is throwing a cigarette butt on the ground. And little ways that we disrespect God and we disrespect creation and we don't live in good time. And if we practice those little ways of respecting God, think about the things that we are doing, the little things, the big things will be easier. In this letter, we are told how important it is to be together as a worshiping community. It's important to refill our spirits in the context of worship and of interaction with one another. It's important for us to stay connected to the joy of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens here. The Holy Spirit shows up, and there's joy here. One of the ways we can celebrate, Paul eloquently says, is by singing. Singing to God with all our heart and all our voice. Singing from the core of our being, from our heart. And the worship and community fuels the process of us living into the new creation that we claim to be as Christians, and therefore claiming our salvation and our eternal life. There's a South African concept of Ubuntu. Archbishop Desmond Tutu defines it as, it is to say my humanity is caught up, inextricably bound up in yours. We belong to a bundle of life. We say a person is a person through other persons. It's not, I think, therefore I am. It is rather, I am human because I belong. I participate. I share. A person with Ubuntu is open and available to others, affirming of others, for he or she has a proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he or she belongs in a greater whole and is diminished when others are humiliated or diminished or treated as if they were less than they are. In other words, we can only be our best selves when we are in relationship with one another in the power of the Spirit. We cannot be fully human in a vacuum. We cannot be fully Christian in a vacuum. We have to have interaction with others. We have to have a connection with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that it's important that we do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important to live in a spirit of thanksgiving. Each day we need to celebrate the fact that Jesus has given us the gift of another day and that he is present with us throughout that day. Now, we can expect that the evil forces of the world will swirl around us and try and distract us from living good time. But we are protected. And as the evil forces try and turn us away from the light, Jesus is there with us to encourage us, to protect us 24/7 with that light, that presence and strength of Jesus. And no matter how strong the efforts of evil to own and control the world is, God owns and God controls the creation. The world belongs to God, and we are protected. The point is it really doesn't matter if an event is good or bad. In our perception, what matters is that God is with us. God protects and guides us. And it is through the joy of worship and the spirit of thanksgiving that we are able to recognize God's presence that is always with us. Able to recognize. A lot of times people say, well, I don't know where God was in this. Where were you, God? God was right there. You just didn't look for God. You just didn't look. You just didn't listen. God never leaves or forsakes us. The darkest, most evil places in the world exist, yet we are protected by the love of the Father, the light of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Consider this passage in the advice given to the Ephesians, which is equally relevant for us these many years later. I'm reminded of how we have talked often of the importance of music in our lives and in our worship. Music that includes singing hymns, reading psalms, joining in gospel joy together as part of our worship, as well as a way to uplift our hearts, either in a spirit of praise or a spirit of longing. When we want to praise God, when we want to put ourselves and humble ourselves before God, music is a way that we can do it. And if you spend time, take your bulletin home, or before you leave, look at the words of the songs that we sing and spend a little time with them. There are great godly messages in the music that we sing. And I know for a fact that Patty takes a lot of time every week looking at the scripture and picking the music that augments what the scripture is saying. It's amazing how it always works. You're amazing. Paul claims music and praise are better ways to get happy than to drink wine. It's not so much that Paul is saying we shouldn't drink wine or that wine is bad. It's when we turn to something worldly to bring us joy, turn to something worldly to bring us comfort, turn to something worldly to help us along, we will fail. And we will only continue to seek something outside of ourselves and outside of our relationship with God to make things right. So, my friends, keep good time. know that God is with you, that the light of Jesus follows you and leads you, that the Holy Spirit dwells within you and around you. And believe with all your heart, mind, and soul that Jesus is your Savior, and that his death and his resurrection are actual promises, not just stories, but actual promises of life eternal for us. Amen.